All right, reminding you that the BBP is brought to you by 50 West Brewing Company, and things are happening at 50 West. The next big event you need to check out, Saturday, November 4th at 50 West Brewing Company. They have the Great Ohio Brew and Q. It's Great Lakes and 50 West collaborating again. So it's going to be chefs, brewers from both breweries. Can't miss display of beers and barbecue. This is as good as it gets combining those two. So tickets are available online at 50westbrew.com. Make sure you check that out.
Yeah, and while the 50 West helps Paul and I bring you behind the scenes and inside the Bengals here on the BBP, make sure you head over there every Sunday, 50 West Brewing Company, for all your NFL action, featuring every NFL game. Of course, their award-winning selection of craft beers and prizes given away each week. 50 West, perfect spot to root on your Bengals and then come back for this BBP. You can learn more about them.
Optimistic Bobby's Bengals,
yeah,
too. So he'll be dead. Anyway, make sure you check them out. There is stuff going on there every single day. Canoeing, volleyball. If you're active, you're running groups, you name it, you can go on down to 50 West. They're adding value to people's life through beer. No better way to do that. So 50 West, every beer is a journey, so join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Wiener Jr., invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into a special road trip edition of the BBP Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewing Company, coming to you live from the back seat of a glorious, fully loaded wood grain edition of the Ford Explorer. We need to get us one of these, Jim.
Yeah, it's got an outlet.
Holes! We got holes. It's very excited. You know, when we do these road trips, we got to use like our handheld recorders.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people don't roll with the full outlet in the car much. You can't find that to plug in our high-end mobile setup. But now, in this fully loaded wood grain Ford Explorer, I can plug in, and now we sound good for people. You don't hear all the background noise. Also, big props to Ford. Smooth running machine, quiet ride.
Yeah.
We just crossed over in Ohio on our way back from Pittsburgh's latest soul-crushing defeat of the Bengals.
Yeah, not good. Kind of the same old for the Bengals. I mean, I thought going in, you know, Paul Gunther's defense would be the difference. And they, I don't know, they looked normal for a half. Unfortunately, it was the second half.
Yeah,
after
it was already
they gave
over.
Up already. You know, 20 points and almost receive a season average in yards against, and kind of the Steelers bring out the worst.
Yeah, they really do. And so we have a lot to get to here, as we often do after soul-crushing Steelers losses. So I'm going to run. Here's kind of a teaser. Everything we're going to be getting to today, we're going to talk about the Bengals because they have a Steelers problem. You're going to hear from Dre Kirkpatrick talking about embracing the suck. In a little bit, we're going to talk a little bit about the other guys, the non-AJ Greens, which has been such a key to this team's development this year, and in particular, Joe Mixon, or should we say the lack thereof, Joe Mixon. We'll get to that. We're going to talk about Vontaze Burfict, who you can't have a Bengals-Steelers game without debating something that Vontaze Burfict did. We are going to talk about Fire Marv guy, who is out in full force. You wrote about it in BX. Broach the topic where that's at as we reach midseason. Power rankings.
Yeah.
Again, thanks to everybody that dropped all those different ideas for our random, obscure power ranking of stuff that really doesn't matter. We're going to rank public bathroom hand drying methods. It's going to be exciting. And of course, mad and happy. We will get to all that stuff later. But and shout out to Kareem Elgazar at the wheel. Sam Green navigating probably poorly. Let's be honest. There's a bad history there. It's being questioned. They will be entering the conversation if they've got stuff, because they caught all kinds of stuff down on the field. Things said, things done, pictures made, all that stuff. Let's talk Bengals Steelers. I'll just, Jim, do the Bengal. Well, we know the answer is yes. How big is the Bengals Steelers problem?
Well, what is it? Five straight.
Eight of nine. 13 of 16.
Yeah, that's a problem. And, you know, and it's funny because they, you know, Marvin and Andy Dalton said, no, it's just another game. We play other people, which is technically true. But it seems like whenever something is on the line is when the Steelers come up on the schedule. So it's almost one of those, not just who you're losing to, but it's when. You know, and then the way that they go
and
about
how,
it,
and
it's
how right
exactly. So it's kind of so like this game, 29-14 on Sunday. So, look, you know, this offense is still a work in progress, even coming off the bye. So what happens in the first half? Offense actually moves the ball. They run the ball well, first time all year. They score touchdowns, and then the defense totally melts down. 252 yards of offense given up when they came in, only giving up 262 a game, not including 49 yards of free penalties that were bad.
Yeah, real bad.
And they gave up 20 points. And then, so again, it's and then second half, obviously, it flipped. Defense was a little better. Offense was awful.
It flipped. Well, partially because the score was what it was. Pittsburgh went to the grind out,
yeah,
handed off over and over again, and the Bengals saw a lot of that stuff coming and were able to stop some. But when it mattered, when it could have been anything,
right,
when everything was free and open, the Bengals defense was a dud.
Yeah. Yeah.
For what they needed to be.
Yeah.
What do we talk about? The template is set for how the Bengals win whenever they rarely do win against the Steelers. Low-scoring, defense-dominated slugfest. And guess what? 14-10 would have been what they needed.
Yeah.
They needed 14-10.
Yeah.
And they got 29-14. And you can put some of that on Dalton and the two picks that were forced throws. You can put it on the offensive line, which was bad in the second half when they needed to throw. When this team has to throw and everyone knows they're throwing, they can't block.
No.
They can't block. They lost 33 yards in six plays at one point. That's all known. You know what I'm saying? But what had to happen was the defense needed to be dominant and do what a lot of teams have done to the Steelers offense this year.
Yeah.
And slow them down.
And make Ben Roethlisberger try to beat you.
Right.
And, you know, basically the three games now that Le'Veon Bell's gotten 30 plus carries and 100 plus yards, I mean, those are the best days of the Steelers offense through this season. But you're right, Paul. I mean, it clearly is a problem. You know, and they want to say it's another game. And I guess if you went 14-2 every year, lost two to the Steelers, then it doesn't matter.
But when you're always hovering around, if you're going to be hovering around 500,
right,
or if you're going to be a game or two out of the division and you're always losing to the Steelers,
yep,
that's your problem. And it definitely is this year when you probably need to win the North.
Yeah.
And you're now 2.5 games back because the Steelers are 5-2. You're 2-4. You know, at certain point, and just for a psyche thing, to believe in yourself, at a certain point, you've got to beat those guys. And you've got to show that you have the guts to do it. It's just you're right, all the bad stuff that you question about the Bengals comes out when the Steelers –
right,
when they play the Steelers, and that's been the way it has been.
Yeah, and Sunday was weird too, Paul, too, because it's – and I do put – and I guess it's because I felt that the defense had to, if not win the game, help you win. So I'm going to be a little more critical of them, I guess. Like, where was Geno Atkins? You know, I don't think I heard 97 called once. He got hit with a 12-man penalty.
And he only played 41 of the 69 snaps.
Right. Vontaze Burfict, we'll get to the extracurriculars later, but totally not a difference maker. You know, yeah. The corners play well. William Jackson III. I mean, Dre Kirkpatrick had the terrible pass interference penalty, but in the second half played better.
William Jackson III looked as good as a Bengals corner has looked.
Yeah.
In a while yesterday. You can see how very quickly we'll say he's their best corner.
Yeah.
You might even say it now.
Yeah. Yeah, no penalties.
Draped on guys.
So you're Marvin always says, right, your best players have to play their best. And it didn't happen on defense. I mean, you know, Carlos Dunlap said, you know, because he was asked sort of about the lack of pass rush, no sacks. And he's like, well, they handed off 35 times. And they threw a little dink and duck screens. I mean, that's how you slow down a pass rush.
Yeah. You know what else you do? You're never in third and long.
Right. Oh, they were never in. Yeah.
The longest third down they faced was third and six, correct?
Yeah.
And that was a QB hit, a QB hit, and incomplete pass.
Right.
What did we say? They had to get Pittsburgh into third and longs because then it switches to what the Bengals do best and what the Steelers do worse.
Right.
The Steelers are at their worst when Ben is getting under pressure. He will throw you the ball. He has this year. It's been their problem. The Bengals have been at their best. Third and long, nickel pass rush, Carl Lawson, Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins, Michael Johnson inside, dominating people.
Yeah.
And they never were able to get into that advantageous situation because they couldn't get themselves into that with first and second down stops. Instead of Bell going for 2 yards, he'd go for 4 or 5.
Right.
And so it was always third and short. And they did a good job in the second half of stopping some of those third and shorts. But you can't be in those all the time.
Right.
You just can't.
No, and then, you know, two of those third and short stops came off the turnover. So even though the defense got off the field, the Steelers still walked away with field goals.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I mean, those were wins technically in those situations, you know, on a quick change. But, again, it was a little too late for both parties. I mean, Nick Vigil said first half, he's like, it was on us. Like, we had a chance to go into the half with the lead the way the offense was playing, and we didn't do it. And then Brandon LaFell said, you know, we couldn't get a first down throwing, couldn't get a first down running, couldn't do anything. You know, defense played great in the second half.
Yep.
So, again, and when I asked, you know, Marvin, did you think you were over this disjointed? And, you know, Marvin's like, well, you're never over anything. Like, every game's its own entity. But I think they did. I think they thought the Buffalo game kind of put all this together.
Yeah. That the offense should be able to play four quarters and the defense should be able to play four
quarters. And we
might
see that Sunday against Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And we're talking, you know, Steelers bring, for whatever reason, Paul, going back to that, like the Steelers seem to bring out the worst in both sides of the ball. Even back in that win in 15, how great the offense was, and they scored, you know,
16 points. And the big one came off of a Sean Williams interception setting them up. They didn't get any of those. So, Dre Kirkpatrick, I was sort of talking to him about the concept of the Steelers' problem after the game. He turned it into a bit of a conversation about how to handle it and follow along and try to follow the meaning of what he's talking about here. It's trying to explain what he means by embracing the loss. So, here's Dre Kirkpatrick after Sunday's loss to the Steelers.
I mean, the Steelers have had y'all's number. It's like 8 or 9 now. I think is that a thing where for this team to get over the hump, they got it. You guys have to kind of solve this Steelers problem.
Yeah, we got to stop it. We got to stop. We got to win these games. You know, at the end of the day, this one gonna hurt. This one gonna hurt. You know, we came in here with a good, great game plan. Just didn't get it done, man. I don't know what it is. You know, I kind of elaborated on that yesterday. I don't know what it is with us, but we just got to find a way. Got to find a way. We're capable, but we just got to find a way.
Is it an attitude thing that you guys have to kick up further, or is it just a matter of execution, do you think? Do you not know?
When you look at the game, what did you see? Stop, 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 big play. Stop, 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 big play. We eliminate the big plays. It's a different ball game. We're sitting here talking about a whole different game. You know? Whether if guys was out of position, men are errors, anything, it was something.
Yeah.
You know? And everybody need to hold themselves accountable.
Does this kind of leave, when you talk about it being tough, does this just kind of leave a nasty taste in your mouth that this team, you know, the Steelers team again, is it one of those things that you just like, is kind of like, kind of getting irritated about it?
Yep. I have to hear it now, you know. I'm going to have to hear it, you know. And so at the end of the day, as you can see, you know, some of those guys, we know those guys. You know, we see those guys, be around those guys in the offseason. So at the end of the day, we gotta do a better job of controlling what we control. Study going out there, it's Pittsburgh, this and that. No, go out there, do things that we taught to do, and be all right.
Does 2.5 games feel like a big hole for you guys right now? 2.5 games out?
No, not right now. You know, not right now. But we just gotta change the energy around here, change the momentum. You know, and I feel like we can do it. Come back in, watch film, learn from our mistakes, and get on to the coach. You know, we can only elaborate on this 24 hours, so it's definitely going to settle in. I'm going to embrace it. That's one thing I ain't never really done, embraced it. I always fought it, this and that. We could have done this. We could have done that. Embrace it. I feel like it's time for us to start embracing, you know, because at the end of the day, that's going to make us, to yourself, you know, you accepting what's going on, but you can also get over the hump. And by, you know, just going through having so many things running through your mind, and you really don't embrace the loss. And I feel like sometimes we need to embrace the loss, like we lost. You know, no matter who it is, we lost. So we gotta embrace it, go back, fix it, and move on. Quit throwing the shoulders up, you know, embrace it. We lost, we got beat today. Let's make it up.
By embrace, do you mean get mad about
no,
it? Like, does
no,
it fuel you?
No, no.
Not mad, but, like, fuel you from coming
yes,
from this,
fuel
you know
you.
What I mean?
Embrace it. Like, okay, now all the other things, like you said, 8, I don't know how many games they don't beat us. Okay, now, what can we do now to really get over it? Like, as a team, as players, not coaches, as players, what can we do? How can we come together? Not really. You know, it just, you hate to lose. That's what gets in your head. It ain't them. We go out there, line it back up again, start the whole clock over. Same excitement, same joy to play the game and compete. But when you lose, that's where the frustration comes, you know? And I'm embracing that we lost today. I ain't going back and saying, hey, I did this, I did that. Somebody could have did this, somebody could have did. We lost. I'm embracing it. That's what I mean by embracing. We fear yourself. You know, everybody needs to hold themselves accountable. We lost.
So I'm not 100% clear on what Dre was trying to say. I think I know. But I think what his point is, this team needs to own the fact that they're not good enough against the Steelers.
Yeah.
That they have to be better and use it to drive them. Because what they're trying to not make excuses about, we didn't hand this guy, we didn't
right.
make it. No, you are not good enough right now. The Steelers are better than you, and they have been for a long time, and they're
right.
probably in your heads, and you need to figure that out and embrace the fact that you're not good enough right now.
Right, which I don't, you know. Clearly they're trying any and all techniques. I mean, we spent the early podcast last week talking about how this team was in this weird mix of not wanting to talk about it. It was a big game, but it wasn't. Like, they were trying to figure out a way, you know what I mean, to embrace it in a some kind of mental gymnastic exercise.
Yeah.
It was just, but it obviously didn't work.
Obviously.
You know, so I don't know. I mean, maybe this is the next part to just sort of own it and then feel like you've got nothing to lose on Monday night in a few weeks.
Yeah, December 4th.
Yeah.
Which is setting up as a completely soul crushing. I mean that it, in the point in the season where the Bengals will be holding on, but really have to beat the Steelers.
Right.
Assuming they beat some of the teams they're supposed to be.
Right.
Pittsburgh will be a couple games out in front of them probably. Yeah. They'll really need that win Monday night.
Right.
Really not setting up well. We'll see what happens here. Let's move on. The biggest thing offensively for this team this year was they had to find weapons not named A.J. Green.
Right.
That they can go to, that can win one-on-one, that can be a coordinator's nightmare. It's why they spent their first two draft picks on those types of guys. And because what happened last year? If A.J. Green didn't go bonkers, the Bengals lost.
Yeah.
And you can kind of say that same thing this year.
Yeah.
You know? And so teams know that. They come in, especially teams that know you, know that. And they come in and they take A.J. Green away. Pittsburgh did, as you would have expected, trails, safeties over the top, doubles, whatever. Yeah. Of course they did. Is anybody shocked by that?
Right.
When the Bengals offense moved on Sunday, those first two out of the first three drives, the other guys were making plays. Tyler Kroft with the touchdown. Brandon LaFell against the zone in the red zone for the touchdown. Alex Erickson, 22 yards deep over the middle. And then there was nothing because the other guys weren't able to make plays. And that brings us to Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
He was making plays on those. He had 7 carries for 48 yards. He had a 25-yarder where he made an incredible cut and ran out in the open space. He didn't touch the ball out of the backfield. He didn't run the ball. He did not get another carry after that third drive. How? That's 8 drives, 24 plays, 1 first down the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon can't – you don't even put the ball in his stomach once. He doesn't play the first 2 drives of the second half. That cannot happen. You need another weapon.
Right.
You have to just give him a chance to go do something. You just have to. I know maybe you're down 6, you're down 9, you're down 12. You've got to give him a chance to go make a play. You have to.
Yeah, it was interesting because Bill Lazor has been much, much better about all this, you know, in the last 3 weeks. You know, Jeremy Hill still gets a start. He still starts the second half. You know, I'm sure we'll hear when we talk to Bill and Marvin that they got off schedule with the interceptions.
Right. There's going to be excuses.
But, again, even with the interceptions, the defense is still then holding the field goals. I mean, it's a 2-possession game at the end. You know, they would have needed 2 2-point conversions to win. Mm-hmm. But what that means to me, Paul, is the running game should have never been – that should never have gotten off schedule. And I granted late – you know, you mentioned the minus 33 yards over 6 plays. 4 of them were sacks in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Where you had longer fields to deal with. But again, early on, I guess it's turnovers, yeah, but you're right. I don't know how you don't get the ball in that guy's hands. And the Jeremy Hill to start things.
It's got to end. It's got to end.
Because, you know, the assumption is you know, Andy's not going to turn it over. That's fine. No one ever assumes those things. But you can't have, you know, 3 and out.
No.
With a guy that's just not getting it done.
He's not. And let's do this. Because Joe Mixon, 21-year-old rookie.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon, not afraid to discuss his own frustration with only having 7 carries in this game while watching Le'Veon Bell go for 35. Notice how specifically he knew those stats when he reeled all this off. So here is Joe Mixon after Sunday's loss.
So what was working well first half for you guys?
Just the offense clicking. It was running the ball effectively, passing the ball effectively, and our receivers were making plays.
Okay. What anything that they did switch up on you guys, and obviously at the break, that changed the flow in their favor?
It wasn't nothing that they switched to me. I felt like they kept doing the same thing.
Is that a matter of execution? Then at that point for you guys in the second half, you think?
Yeah, I felt like in the second half, we had a lot of opportunities. Just didn't deliver.
That 25-yard run you had, was that a design cutback, or did you, was it closed one way and you just saw the opener?
It was just a one-on-one in the hole. Russell came off his block, and I cut off of him. Jump cut outside, and you know, tried to make a big run.
Seems like it's been an ongoing story, but can you get the running game, get going? Can you get it going? It looked like you guys did early today, and then you guys kind of went away from it. Was that frustrating?
Yeah, it was frustrating. I mean, I felt like, you know what I'm saying, Bell get the ball 35 times, I get it 7 in the first half, and then don't touch the ball again. Jeremy got one touch in the second half. I mean, it's frustrating to us running backs. We're in the room, and we feel like we're a part of the offense. If it worked in the first half, why not do it in the second?
It looked like you were rolling. You had a run to set up the 4th and 1. Looked like you were making hay. It looked like they didn't have an extra guy in the box, right?
I was telling them, let's go for it. 4th and 1 on the goal line. We did. We scored.
Who was working for you in the running game? Who was working for you?
I mean, our linemen, they was blocking their ass off. I mean, I can't do nothing but tip my hats off to them. I mean, they did a great job. Receivers did a great job. We, like I said, we just got to run it in the second half.
Did you get an answer on why? I know you kind of.
We'll figure it out tomorrow.
I know you get. You know, it was a tough watching Bell do what he does. You know, you like to be like him, wouldn't you?
I mean, I feel like, to me personally, I feel like I could do way more than he did. You know, like I said, I only had 7 carries. I mean, I can't showcase nothing if I don't get the ball. I mean, ain't nothing else I can say.
Look, the first reaction from everyone, myself, you, everyone on Twitter.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
No.
Maybe he shouldn't have said it. We could probably have that conversation. I don't mind him saying it, honestly.
Nah, yeah. How you feel?
I mean, you know, I don't, but even if I was a teammate, right, I wouldn't mind him saying it.
No, because they know.
Because everybody knows. AJ Green said, I don't know, what was the difference? We were running the ball really well early, and then we weren't doing it anymore. And that's why I couldn't get open, because they didn't have to. They weren't respecting the run game because it wasn't happening.
Yeah, I mean that was one of the things when Ken Zampezi was fired. I mean, that was the, you know, guys like that said it. Joe Mixon needs to play, and he has played the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks. But you're right. It was, you know. So I'll be curious to see what they say, and I'm sure they'll kind of lay it at the feet of the quarterback turning the ball over. You know, but again, it's you could argue, you know, when you're in between the 40s, you know, why are you doing certain things?
Yeah.
You know, and in this, the rotation, you know, clearly the Steelers have Giovanni Bernard's number. I mean, Ryan, it's just a bad matchup for Gio.
Yeah.
Shazier's way too fast. I mean, the advantages Gio gives you 14 weeks out of the year are just nullified in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, I think some of the plays were Gio, and he was blown up on several of those that we haven't seen in 6 weeks. I mean, even the catch and runs he had against Houston and Baltimore. Yeah. I mean, the Steelers just know, I mean, number 50 just ends that.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of that's the mistake I think Bill Lazor made in the second half was – you just got to go with the big, fast guy.
Yeah.
Already winning.
Who was winning. It'd be one thing if it was 7 carries for 10 yards.
Right.
It wasn't. We have talked, and the coaches have talked, about needing to get the run game going all year. All year. And it was as good as it had been. And then the reason it was good was never used again.
Yeah.
And that type of stuff just can't happen. And if this year on offense is about finding another primary weapon that you can go to, they can't have games where they just forget about Joe Mixon for 2+ quarters.
Right.
Yeah. They've got to keep him constantly involved, constantly in the mix, and try to establish him, even if you're down 9 or you're down 12. even if it's just every once in a while, find a way. You got a hand on the ball and let him try to make some plays like he was, because it was a difference.
Well, you know why, you know, that's – well, speaking of Paul.
Yep.
It's like what is the Ezekiel Elliott thing that he likes to do?
Eat.
Yep. Right?
You gotta let him eat.
Keep feeding that guy, right?
And you know what a coordinator does? Cooks.
He cooks. Yeah. You know who else is cooking? Me. This is what happens after Road BBPs, Paul, especially in October, because it's the 5th anniversary of Blue Apron. I get to go home. That meal is sitting for me. It's waiting. I don't have to worry about it. This long ride to Pittsburgh? Nope. We're easy. 5th anniversary of Blue Apron, bringing back its top 20 recipes from throughout the past 5 years, picked by you, the Blue Apron community. Favorite recipes back on the menu for a limited time only. Try out Blue Apron's all-time customer favorites by going to blueapron.com/beat. As you all know, over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States have a partnership with Blue Apron. That's where we get all this good food from. So definitely check out this week's menu. Get $30 off your first meal with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/beat. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so do not wait. That's blueapron.com/beat. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Better way to cook. Let's talk Vontaze Burfict. let's just go in.
Yeah.
Let's just go in. So you can't have a Bengals-Steelers game without talking about, you know, Zapruder filming.
Right.
What Vontaze did or did not do and what his motives were or were not. It's like we're doing – it's Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
So this particular incident happens immediately at the start of the game.
First play of the game.
First
play. Literally.
First play of the game. He gets pushed down and out of the pile a little bit by Roosevelt Nix.
Yeah.
Fullback, who was a beast yesterday.
Yes.
And as he does – he leans back and kicks him with 2 feet on his helmet.
Yeah.
This is the type of stuff. It's just weak, fake tough stuff that has been the – no one has a problem with any of Vontaze's between the whistle stuff. It's this is the garbage that is why people just get sick of it. And after the game – also something is Groundhog Day. A Steelers player on Twitter talking about Bengals players named Vontaze Burfict being dirty. And Le'Veon Bell, was it? Dude needs to be out of the game.
Yeah.
Dude's got to go. Dude's got to go. And he talked about him quite a bit along those lines in his after the game with reporters.
I mean, basically just said what you did there. Like, look, we have no problem with the between the whistles things and hitting hard and playing hard. It's this extra stuff that could hurt a guy. And the weird part about it, Paul, was again, being the very first play of the game, you kind of saw the legs flail in real time. And then, you know, Roosevelt Nix throws his hands up. Burfict throws his hands up. There's an umpire literally
right there
running towards the play. There was no flag. So it was just kind of, I mean, obviously the Steelers didn't forget about it, but kind of forgotten about it. I mean, it was just because you didn't really see 55 involved with a whole lot of anything. You know, he would jaw with Nix. You know, you and I tweeted about how a different umpire, you know, escorted Tez across the line of scrimmage at one point and walked with him, you know, during a verbal altercation and whatever. But I mean, again, as we at the top of the BBP, Paul, I mean, he was a non-factor on the field.
Yeah.
You didn't really hear about him. And then, post-game, that's what adds to it now. So the Steelers obviously didn't forget. And Le'Veon Bell really took exception to it. Said it. He's like, he kicked my fullback in the face.
Yeah.
And, you know, and doubled down on Twitter after. So, you know, it's here we go again. That's really all it is. It's just, and here's the thing, Paul. People wonder, is he going to be suspended? We'll find out. You know, we're recording this in the morning on Monday. But if there is going to be a fine or suspension, it's going to be heavy. It's going to be huge.
Repeat offender.
Yes.
status. How many times do we have to say this? This is the problem. Anything that happens with him is multiplied.
Yes.
This is why the Anthony Sherman hit was what it was.
Right.
And all of that. And it's just, so anybody else, yeah, it's probably a small fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But they can't do small fines with Vontaze Burfict anymore. They've that's like eight steps ago.
This like, will if he is fined and or suspended, it will be his 10th disciplinary related fine.
Yeah.
10. And oh, by the way, he was already suspended this season.
And now his new contract makes this a financial disaster.
Yes.
Because it takes more money out for losing game checks, and there's active game roster 250,000 bonuses.
Yeah.
That was part of his contract that the Bengals put into that for a reason.
Yes.
It's just pissing money away.
I don't know.
To kick at a guy's helmet like a fool?
Yeah.
Look, I don't have a problem. We try to be really in the down the middle with this Tez stuff. But this is the dumb stuff. There's no intimidation gained. I have a bigger problem with this than the Anthony Sherman thing.
The Sherman thing was
talking about debating football intent.
Right.
This is just stupid after the play garbage. That's just unnecessary. Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, you know,
and could cost your team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't.
If they have
flagged,
to play without him.
He wasn't flagged for the Sherman hit. So you know, I don't even think there was a flag for the LeGarrette Blount stomp.
No.
Last year. So, you know, the flag doesn't really matter in this instance.
Yeah.
And, you know, the league does like to legislate intent.
Yeah.
So, you know, I say what you want. I mean, his legs went up and he made contact with his face mask.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be, you know, this is, again, to be determined as we go. But, again, it's questions for Marvin. Mm-hmm. And more, it's just more of the same stuff.
Yeah.
For a team, again, that the Steelers bring this out in them, they bring it out in him. It's a long, you know, it's a broken record.
Yeah. It is weird. The ref was right there.
It was very strange.
And maybe that's, I'm sure that's going to be part of the Bengals argument.
Right.
Ask the referee. He was looking right at it. And maybe it was the pushing beforehand. He just thought it was part of like a scuffle. Yeah. He didn't want to, I don't know. But, you know, that's a really interesting side of it. No flag was thrown. But so we will be tracking that again as we get going. You know, if Tez gets suspended, he'll just be sitting around looking for something to do. So ZipRecruiter, man. he might be able to just, like, pick him up. If you need him to come help you out with something, post that job. Maybe Tez will apply.
It's true. Because if you're needing great talent for your business but short on time, you don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools, smarter tools, Paul. So what if hiring could be easier, more streamlined, less time and consuming? So even when you're busy, you can still be smart about the way you hire. By going to ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. So you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. So find out today why ZipRecruiter is being used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. So right now, our listeners can post job on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/beat. That's ZipRecruiter.com/beat. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/beat.
Love it. Now let's move on. It's time to – we got to pick our Jolly Plumbing player, jack-of-all-trades player of the game.
Yeah.
So who do you think? I nominated the three guys that I think you can talk about. Kevin Huber. And you know it's a bad day when you're talking about Kevin Huber. No offense to Kevin, but they don't want him out there. William Jackson III and Tyler Kropf. Kevin Huber had a great day. I mean, how many times has Antonio Brown just punished this team in the return game? And Huber was hitting high, long punts that were forced fair catches, 52, 51-yard punts that get fair catches, no return,
right.
52 net.
Yeah.
That's huge. A lot of that goes to the gunners. Cody Core was really nice as a gunner yesterday to get down there fast enough to force the fair catch. Helped flip a lot of field position. And, you know, no one talks about those types of hidden yards or things like that. It's a true Jolly Plumbing jack-of-all-trades type of trait. William Jackson III.
Yeah.
We talked about him a little bit earlier. He looks like he's quickly becoming the real deal. He was all over everybody yesterday. You know, you don't talk as much about a corner who's – he didn't have the pick six against Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Like he did, but – every play, he was out there, and they weren't completing anything on him. When they tried to get stuff on him, tried to pick on him, they couldn't.
No, yeah, and then I think Tyler Croft is the other option, right?
Touchdown.
Another touchdown. Sort of quietly becoming a safety net for Andy Dalton in a lot of ways. And, again, that was kind of his role. I mean, not spectacular, but moved the chains and was an option. I guess if I had to vote, it would be the punter. Just because and with that a little assist, I don't know, is Cody Core holding the tool belt for the Jolly Plumbing player of the game? That would be my vote. I mean,
it's like a two-man job.
Yeah, I thought they both were fantastic.
I'll go with you on here, but you can go to jollyplumbing.com. You can vote. Pick who is your Jolly Plumbing jack-of-all-trades player of the game. It's for the guy who put in an honest, hard day of work, doesn't ask for accolades. So, Jolly Plumbing, it's the honest choice for your plumbing needs. Go vote. You know, the Croft touchdown came on a gutsy call by Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
And a more aggressive Marv.
Yeah.
For early in the game. But, you know, anytime the Bengals lose in that way to the Steelers, fire Marv guy is going to be out there. And it's all legit right now. I mean,
You're 2-4.
2-4, you don't have an extension. You know, the team looked bad. You wrote about it in BX on Sunday about where Marvin's seat is in terms of temperature.
Right.
And in terms of what the future looks like and how the Steelers game would shape that. And you can see it shaping it certainly in the wrong direction.
Yeah, I mean, because that was the thing. I mean, 3-3, three straight wins, you know, half game out of first place in the division. You get over the Steelers mess. I mean, not that Mike Brown would have come to him and said, oh, you're extended after a 3-3 start. But I think you'd see a little more momentum, obviously, with the Colts come up and the Jags. I mean, you saw a path here with a win to say, wow, Marvin – made a change at coordinator. Maybe he should have done it in the offseason. That's a good question. But whatever, it happened, and then things were rolling, and you go into Pittsburgh, you win a game. Maybe you get one no one thought you should. But obviously, now we're in the other part of it, which is what we also wrote about in BX, is just, okay, 2-4, look, right away, Sunday night, ESPN, national talking heads, Marvin's got to go. I mean, this is what happens when you're 2-4 and what, 8-13-1?
Yeah.
The last 2 years, further and further removed from that 2015 playoff debacle.
Yep.
You know, seems like a lifetime ago at this point how good that team was. But anyway, so here's the thing. Marvin isn't getting fired.
No.
No, but he doesn't have a contract, and I think once you get – as this is rolling, Paul, it turns into you can't – it's going to be he didn't push the right buttons again, the thing we heard last year.
Yep.
You know, I'd be really surprised if in a few weeks we have a BBP where we say the team didn't play hard. I'd be surprised at that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if that's all you're hanging your hat on 2 years in a row with this team, it's trending towards a new head coach in 2018.
The staples of Marvin Lewis teams are they do play hard, and it's why they typically have beaten the teams that they should beat.
Right.
But it's also because it is about more than that, typically why they lose to the teams that they shouldn't.
Right.
Or that are better than them or are the same.
Right.
Because it's more than a try-hard thing. At a certain point,
yeah,
you've got to be working smarter, playing the right players, pushing the right buttons, whatever you want to call it. And that's obviously been part of the issue here. Yeah. I mean, you can't see 0-7 in the playoffs and not say that. You know, and try hard. Try hard in this league will get you a lot of wins.
Yeah.
With a good roster. You combine try hard with a good roster and you can do some things. Yeah. And they've proven that. But look, I don't, you know, they've got to make some kind of run here.
Yeah.
For Marvin to hold on.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be.
Right? I mean,
yeah,
they can't. It's they've got to show. And we've talked a lot about how this kind of has the feel of a stepping stone year with all these young players.
Right.
But they've got to show that 2018 looks real bright.
Yeah.
Over the next 10 games, if you know, assuming they, let's say they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They have to make a run and be playing well at the end of the year where you're like, okay, you're willing to see the momentum carry through to next year.
Yeah, go 8-2. 7-3.
To make the – yeah.
Min
7-3 to make the playoffs at this point.
But to even entertain Marvin coming back. And that was part of this with the BX, Paul, is look, there's no – none of these assistants or these coordinators have a contract for next year either. So, and now while some people say, well, the offensive line coach needs to go, or maybe there's some other change that need to be made. But look, let's say they go, that was the thing. If you go 7-3, well, now Paul Gunther's, he's up. He was denied an opportunity to go to Washington this past year. Kind of do, and if you win like this, your OC, your DC have opportunities for other jobs and, you know what I mean? But now you lose, you go the other way. Well, again, no one's under contract.
Yeah.
And then if you're 6-10, 7-9, 2 years in a row, do you want these guys? I mean, they're in a really weird space here.
They got to make a run.
They got to.
They got to make some kind of run to make you believe that they have this thing going in the right direction.
Right.
Because there is too much talent, and now there's a lot of young talent.
Right.
And that is going to be coming into its own, so you don't want to think that you're derailing something that can be going in the right direction.
Mock draft?
Don't you start this. Can I just make it to week 8?
No.
This
is week 7.
Game. I got to make it to the 8th game. I need half a season to not talk about mock drafts. Please. Please. Lord knows I don't ask you for much.
Cream's up there doing sign language for Lamar Jackson.
Want Lamar? All right. We've exhausted this. You know what? I'm excited.
Dude, we've never exhausted mock drafts. We haven't even started. And you're exhausted.
I'm already exhausted. I'm already exhausted and I haven't done one yet.
Yeah.
The thought of having to start, of how long this draft season is going to be if the Bengals are picking like 6th.
That's all right.
Oh, it would just be absolutely brutal.
That's right. They'll win their last 3 games to go from like the number 2 pick to number 8 and just drive everybody crazy.
Oh, God. So, all right. Let's go. Power rankings time. I'm excited. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
you are. You're real excited about this one.
Dude, I'm telling you. There's a lot to be discussed here. I feel like opinions are all over the map on this. So, we're going to do top 2, bottom 2 power rankings of public restroom hand drying methods. Are you set? Do you have have you plotted out?
Yeah.
We all plotted out our course. Everybody appears ready to make their case.
We're assuming Kareem washes his hands.
Well, that is part of the assumption. That is an option. Anybody like to go on the record as being a non-hand washer?
I've talked to you about that before. It depends on the bathroom. Sometimes if I think I'm cleaner than the facilities. If I've washed myself more recently than that bathroom's been cleaned, I might skip the sink and try to avoid the door.
That's a good play right there. That's true. You gotta make that judgment.
Yeah,
there's a lot of gas station. But in my opinion, you don't even need to go then. You know what I mean? Like, you should just be holding it and find another place. You shouldn't even be in there.
I'll agree. I'm saying worst-case scenario here.
This is worst-case scenario. All right. So, Sam, do you want to open up with your particular top? Let's start with our top twos,
okay,
and then we'll go around with the bottom twos. So we'll start with your top two. What is your top two in terms of power rankings?
Number one for me, absolutely, is the paper towel. I know that's not necessarily the most eco-friendly, but I feel like we have to make some sacrifices here and there.
Now, there's different types of paper towel dispensers. There's the auto, there's the pull, there's, I mean, I feel like there's different ones that you can get. Now, you have to get specific and differentiate.
Okay, well, then definitely number one, I'm going to go with the pull, because as we said, I like to avoid touching any fixtures that I can, so if I have to crank a knob or push a...
Crank's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to leave out touching as many things as possible. And then number two, kind of thinking about the next best option with a paper towel. Well, number two, I mentioned earlier, I'm just going to go with drying my hands off on my pants.
That's your second best option? Is pants dry?
Give me a paper towel, then my pants. And I'll just skip right to my bottom is any drying situation at all. The blow dryers, I don't want to mess with. Wow. I'm going right to the pants next.
Anti-blow dryer. That's shocking to me.
I don't like noise.
It's a noise factor?
That's one of the big parts. I tell people all the time, you know, being on the field at these games, these different stadiums and arenas, part of the thing is the noise. People are yelling behind you. I like to avoid noise when I can. A lot of people wear earplugs on the field.
Man, after the power butt road trip, BBP, people are finding out a lot about Sam.
Doesn't want to attract any attention to himself, even if it means not having that clean of hands.
Well, is drying part of the cleaning? Or?
Yes, partially. I want to say yes. At the very least, it's annoying.
Well, I got clean pants and I'm wiping them off.
Are your pants clean?
Clean, Sam. On the outside.
You can't do that.
On the outside.
I don't know what to say about that. Let's move on. Kareem, hook me up with your top two. And if you want to fire off the bottom two, you can as well.
I would have to go with the motion dispenser for the paper towels. Yes. I don't want to touch anything either. But, just the motion is good. Get a couple paper towels and be on my way. Second, I think maybe not drying my hands, period. I don't want to touch anything. I definitely don't want to touch anything. So definitely the motion dispenser and then not drying my hands, period. I'll just walk out of there with wet hands.
Take the wet hands. Interesting. Wet. I did not think. I just didn't think people were so accepting of having the wet hands. I hate the wet hands. No one wants wet hands.
Give it a sturdy shake, Paul. It's not, you know. Get some strength in the forearms.
Definitely the motion dispenser is very important.
I agree. Motion papers are pretty is a pretty good one. Do you have a clear bottom for you?
I do. It's the when you stick your hands in the the dryer?
The Dyson blade.
The Dyson, exactly. No, I hate that. I feel like I'm going to touch something else, so germs are just flying onto my hands. I don't know where these people have been.
Germs are flying on your hands. It's air. The air. It's just air moving out. Wow. This is going to get ugly. Because you know what? You know what, Jim? Number one, Dyson Airblade.
Yeah, that one's super loud, by the way.
It is super loud. I don't care. See, I don't care if I'm attracting attention. Everyone look at me trying to get my hands dry and clean.
It's less about attention and just my ears, man. Like, got to give me a break.
The Dyson Airblade, to me, is my number one.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
It works. I get the driest hands. I'm in. I'm out. It's effective. It's efficient. I never have to worry about wet hand. I feel clean. Dyson Airblade. My number one. And then clearly, then the auto. And I don't, you know, I'm an environmental guy. I don't want to be wasting paper. Why can't we all just become an air community?
It's not a waste. That's a valuable use of resources. That's no waste.
It is waste. If you have a perfectly effective air drying method, we can save all kinds of paper if we just stop using it. And then the trash cans pile up, and you're walking over like all these wet paper towels that overflow the trash can. I don't like that.
I'm following the CDC over the EPA on this one.
I'm interested in being clean, man. I'm interested in being clean.
This is a power rank user. PDJ, you're taking a hard L on this.
I'm not taking a hard L on this. Sorry, I love the environment and care about trees and stuff.
Yeah.
Nah. Yeah.
Another thing I can't stand about the dryer only, blow dryer only bathrooms is what if you want to wash your face in there? You can't put your face in there now. Now you're drying off your face on your shirt. Nobody ever washed their face in the bathroom?
You washing your face in a public bathroom?
I got a beard, dude. Sometimes you eating ranch dipping sauce, it makes a mess. Barbecue sauce is ending up in the mustache area. You got to wash that off.
You got a wet face.
Now I can't dry that in the Dyson blade.
No.
I've tried.
Jim, go. Let's just move this forward.
Because like I said, PDJ's taking a hard L. Number one, the pull-down paper, just like Sam Green. No levers, no touching of knobs.
But here's the problem with that.
You take your L over there.
I'm not taking an L. I got a problem with this, too.
Number two would be the hand motion paper.
Yeah.
Again, not touching anything. Bottom two, Dyson Airblade. Same reasons as Kareem. And then second to last. Would also be just another hand dryer in general thing. I'm not feeling it.
The soft.
Not feeling that one. The one with the weird grate that shoots at your waist.
No. I have the clear worst that you guys have not even mentioned yet. The clear worst is the towel circle.
I had that one in mind. That is the worst.
The towel circle is worse.
There's nothing more disgusting, more covered in germs than the towel circle, which still exists.
It does exist.
It's around. I've seen it.
The place you still see that is the bathroom that I'm saying where I don't wash my hands. The roller towel is where I'm just walking out.
Yeah, roller towel.
No business. That's the worst. And then I think if you have an air dryer that's one of those weak gasish ones, you hit the button and it goes and like nothing really happens and you're just standing there and just nothing, it doesn't dry a thing, it's just off. That's my bottom. But man, I am really surprised that there's so much animosity towards the Dyson Airblade.
Yeah,
I really thought that was pretty clearly one of the best methods. So efficient, so effective. Doesn't like sticking his hands in there.
It's like 200 decibels.
Wow. Yeah. I never thought volume would come into play. I'm not going to lie. All right. Well, good. That was good conversation, everybody. I really feel like we all gained a lot from that. Power rankings off to a great start.
Yeah.
So anyway, obviously, everybody, send us your public bathroom drying methods, power rankings, your top two and your bottom two. Hit us up on Twitter at Paul Daner Jr., at Jim Ozarski, at Elgazar. BLVD.
Yep.
And at SG does it. Boom. Those are all our Twitter handles. So tell us what you think about our thoughts.
Tell PDJ took an L.
Dude, I take no L.
Dude, that was an L.
You don't understand.
Just like your skim milk, dude.
You are about to shake the Dyson Airblade community, and you're gonna feel the wrath.
No.
They're out there.
No. You and your skim milk and your Dyson Airblade. Bad.
I don't know why you got a problem with that. Jim, what's making you mad, please?
Being out of stuff, Paul. Like, look, we were in Pittsburgh. It was a great weekend. You know, it was fun hitting the town. But what I don't understand, you go to a restaurant, you go to a bar, you order a thing. No, we don't got it. I want this thing. No, we don't have that either. Like, literally.
They ain't got it.
Where we went to dinner. Both nights, lunch, and then two bars. So we're talking entrees, apps, and various frosted beverages. Down the list. No, we don't have that.
We don't have that.
We're out of this. No, we don't have that. We don't have this for you. What do you have? Here's this giant menu. You have what? Then it turns into what can I get?
Yes.
You can get this. Why don't I? I don't like that. I don't want it. Well, this is all we have.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sucks.
It sucks. And it's false advertising. And your only job is to have the stuff you say you have.
Right.
It's your only reason for being there is to have the stuff that I want.
Yes.
And you don't have the stuff. Because You, how could you be so clueless? I want to talk more to people that do the ordering for restaurants and for, how do you just run out of stuff? You know how many people come to your place on a regular basis.
Right.
Look, if there was like 8 weddings that you didn't realize
right. That
rolled in and just drank everything dry, or there was one dude who decided, I'm going to drink Remy Martin XO all night.
Yeah.
And he drinks a whole bottle of it that you don't normally, okay, you're out of Remy Martin now because of that guy. But
right. Like
stuff like basic things, like food items and
right. General
like basic beers that are on your menu, that can't be tolerated.
No.
Can't be tolerated. It's weak sauce.
It was weak. Right. Very weak.
Yeah. So Jim's mad about that.
Happy?
I'm happy. I'm taking I can do this every week. But so the latest, it's basically like the Paul talking about the things his daughter's doing update segment.
Right.
Baby giggles are unstoppable forces. There is nothing better than baby giggle for the first time. Like, just hasn't really been able to say it. Now all of a sudden we get giggles on the regular now. I'm telling jokes. I'm knowing how to make her laugh, and she is. It's got to be one of the top 5 most adorable things in life.
So your dad jokes are working.
My dad jokes are on fire.
Okay.
I'm the Dave Chappelle of dad jokes in my house. I got fire dad jokes.
Yeah, you heard that groan coming from
Why
the front, everyone.
Why is that a groan? He's funny. My jokes
I
are
think
funny.
Your photogs don't think you're that funny.
Yeah. No.
He's like
no,
reaching
no.
for
I'm
a Dyson
saying,
blade
I'm funny.
Skim milk.
I'm not saying I'm in general funny. I'm saying to her, I make her laugh constantly.
Okay, that's true. That's probably
now,
true.
Now, I'm not saying I'm actually Dave Chappelle. That's false. So you hold your groans. To her, I am. What do you mean, You doubting? Come on over. Come on over and watch how many baby giggles I can elicit.
I got jokes
that are working. Baby giggles happening. All right. This was really a good segment as well.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Hey, Kareem, your lane changes have not been questionable. You've done an excellent job behind the wheel.
For the most part.
I look forward to a few more. Miles with you. Oh, okay, no, that's unnecessary. I take it all back. Even though you weren't the greatest captain on this road trip, there were a few questionable moments where we were concerned about your captainship, but you persevered. I think you're strong. I won't give you a negative.
Want to come up here and drive?
Maybe I will. Maybe I will come up and drive.
Thank you, Paul.
No problem. All right, so let's get out of here. Again, reminder to everybody, Beyond the Stripes, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Andy Dalton is our guest.
Yeah.
Chris Mack will be down there. We'll be throwing some tiny footballs around.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time. So please come on down. It's going to be a big, big night at the Holy Grail Banks for our show. So look forward to seeing you. Get there early because the crowd will be large.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with the BB2 later this week. Keep an eye on Cincinnati.com, your Bengals app. Lots of news. We'll be matriculating out. We'll be tracking all the stuff that's Vontaze Perfect possibilities, prepping for the Fighting Brissettes this week.
The Fighting Brissettes.
Yeah, so going to be a good time. Anyway, thanks, everybody, for listening to the BBP. We'll talk to you later.